Show me how much you love humility. Oh, Spirit, be the star that leads me to the humble heart of love I see in you. 'Cause you are the God of the broken, the friend of the weak. You wash the feet of the weary, embrace the ones in need. To be like you, Jesus, to have this heart in me. You are the God of the humble, you are the humble King. Oh, kneel me down again here at your feet. Show me how much you love humility. Oh, Spirit, be the star that leads me to the humble heart of love I see in you. You are the God of the broken, the friend of the weak. You wash the feet of the weary, embrace the ones in need. I want to be like you, Jesus, to have this heart. You are the God of the humble, you are the humble King.
Let that be our heart also, Lord God. Humble. Not just seeing ourselves in the world, but seeing the faces of all of your children in the world. Not just concerned about our reputation, our security, our theology, our comfort, but concerned about you, your kingdom, and your children in the earth. Lord, I just ask you today that this would not be a word of the flesh, but a word of the Spirit. And that, Father, your word would go forth and touch the hearts of your children in the way that you had designed it to today. I yield this time to you, my King, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you have to go, then it is okay. If not, I'm not going to take too much more time, but I do have something I would like to share with you this morning. If you have your Bible, turn to Luke 2. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 11. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judah, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house in the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes, placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." We've been talking about homeless people. And, you know, this innkeeper took in a homeless couple. That's what we just read. They were a homeless couple. They were an unmarried couple. Here's the innkeeper, and here comes this couple, a pregnant woman, pregnant out of wedlock. And yet he took this couple in. It was a risk for him. It didn't look good. It could have cost him his reputation. It could have cost him some of his business. I take a homeless person in. I take someone who's pregnant out of wedlock. It could have involved him in some sort of a scandal that was going on. He didn't really know the story of their lives. In fact, he didn't even ask. He took him in. He saw people who were in a need in their life. And he took these people in their time of need, and there was a miracle that was born out of that. And the miracle that was born out of that was the Savior of the world, Christ Jesus. So my question to you today is, would you have taken them in? Would you have taken the risk? In Hebrews 13, verses 1 through 2, the word of the Lord tells us, "Keep on loving one another as brothers. Do not forget to entertain angels, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you are suffering yourselves." This innkeeper entertained strangers, had no idea who they were. And by doing that one simple thing, he gave a place for the Savior of the world to be born. He didn't know who these people were. Again, it looked bad. The people looked bad. The situation looked bad. But what was so good about the innkeeper was he really didn't care how it looked. What he cared about was what was the right thing to do. One of the things that I see that the innkeeper had in common with a baby that was born that night was Jesus did a lot of things that didn't look right. He was a scandal in the streets every day that he walked in the streets. He did many things that didn't look right. He did many things that didn't look the norm. He did many things that weren't in keeping with the law. He held the company of many people that a lot of people wouldn't touch or get anywhere near. Why? Because Jesus was never concerned about whether it looked right. Jesus was concerned about if it was right, according to his Father. He was a walking scandal. He was. Read about him sometime. He was a walking scandal by the people he entertained, by the people he touched, by the people he sat and ate with, by the people he loved, and by the people he chose to bring into his heart, his life, and his kingdom. He was a scandal. In Exodus chapter 2, I'm not going to read it, but we see the story. We see Pharaoh's daughter, who took in a Hebrew baby that she found one day hidden by the water's edge. This was a baby whose life was marked. the baby, because of its nationality, because it was a Hebrew, was supposed to be killed. And yet she, like the innkeeper, she didn't stop and think about, well, what could happen to me if I take this baby in? She didn't look at the risk. She took the baby into her heart. She had mercy on that baby. She took the baby into her home. She shared her possessions with that baby. She took that baby into her family. She took that baby into her life. When she did this, she put her life at stake. She put her reputation at stake. She put her family at stake. Why? Just to take in the baby. It didn't look right. It may not have even felt right. But she knew it was right. And in doing so, she made a way for the future deliverer of God's people, whose name was Moses. Because she was willing to take a risk and to take somebody in. When you're willing to entertain strangers, you have no idea what miracle you're making room for. In your life, in the life of this world that we're all living in. You may be entertaining an angel that was sent to test your heart. In the Bible, you see, I taught about this a little bit late in Bible study, angels have four main functions in the lives of God's people, one of which is to test God's people. To test their hearts, just like we read here. But maybe it isn't an angel. Maybe the stranger that you're entertaining is going to end up being the next Billy Graham, the next Miss Wigglesworth, the next Oral Roberts, or maybe the next Mother Teresa. You have no idea when you take a life in, when you risk your own life to take another life in, who that life is going to be. You may be entertaining an angel. You may be entertaining the next Billy Graham. You may be entertaining a man or a woman that was sent strictly to bring you a miracle into your life. Just like the little miracle they had right there in their moment. In 2 Kings 4, we see the story of a very wealthy woman. She and her husband were very wealthy. She was a Shunammite woman. And whenever the man of God would come by Elisha, she would take him in and she would feed him. She was enamored with this man. And she said this to her husband one day. She said, "I know that this man who often comes by our way is a holy man of God. Let's make a small room on the roof and put in it a bed and a table and a chair and a lamp for him. And then he can stay here whenever he comes to us." She recognized this person was a man of God, and she took him in. They took him in. They made room in their home for him. They made room in their life for him. They made room in their heart for him. They made room with their possessions. They added on to their house to make room for him. And in doing so, they made room for the miracle of their future son that would be born. Because at this point in this woman's life, she was old. She had never had any children. She wasn't supposed to have any more children. But she made room in her life. And she brought this man in so that whenever he was traveling through, he wouldn't be homeless. He'd have something to eat and a place to stay. And she made room for a miracle in her life. And not only did she make room for a miracle in her life, but later on in this woman's life, if you go back and read the story, the son dies, and Elisha comes and takes that dead baby into that very room and lays upon that child, and another miracle happens, and that child comes back to life. Why? Because two people made room in their home, in their possessions, in their heart for a miracle to happen. Who are you willing to take into your home? I want you to think about that today. Who are you willing to take into your home? Who are you willing to take into your heart? Who are you willing to take into your family? We all have our little protected family units that we don't want the outside world to touch or dirty. Who are you willing to take into your forgiveness? Or only some allowed to be forgiven and some aren't. Who are you willing to take into your faith? Who are you willing to take into your life? Those who deserve it, or those that God puts in front of you? Those you deem feel you have a right to it, or those that have a need, and Christ says, will you take them in? Those who look good, those who look right and safe and in right order according to your theology and your way of thinking? Those who won't affect your reputation too bad, won't affect your friendships too bad, won't affect your family or your theology or your comfort zone too bad? Those are easy people to take in. Or what about those strangers that he puts in front of you? Regardless of how they look. Like the innkeeper. With the man and his pregnant girlfriend who just happened to be carrying the Savior of the world. By your next move with a stranger that you meet, that the Lord puts in front of you, you may take in or reject the next one that could lead thousands upon thousands to the Lord. Have you ever thought about that? Just by taking one person in. The next one that you take in, again, may be sent to be a miracle in this life, or maybe just a miracle in your life. And will you take him in? Or will you turn him away? We went caroling Friday night and talked at the ladies' Bible study to the ladies, and I said, you'd be honest with me. There's a very specific reason that we carol and that we started it years ago. But I want to know, do you really like doing this? Why are we doing this? And so we talked, and based off what the ladies said, we decided we were going to go ahead and do it because it was very in keeping with what we always wanted to do with caroling, which was to take the music and the love of Jesus to these people in the neighborhoods, in the community, wherever it may be, not just to go sing songs at them. They can do that in the mall. They can plug in a CD and listen to a Christmas carol. But it was for us to go out and be the song of Christ, the love of Christ, the voice of Christ, our Savior. And we went out on Friday night. How many of you came and enjoyed it? How many of you were moved to tears as old people came out and stood in the cold and just said, thank you, this is the best thing that happened to me this day. A husband and a wife who would come up and just stand and sing. Every verse and every word. Another old lady comes out and she's trying to get her coat zipped up because it's cold out there, and she's listening to us sing, and she finally just gets so frustrated she just stands there and smiles and just listens to us sing. And we interrupted, obviously, a Christmas party, and these three people came out. And they stood there. And as we started to sing, this one girl just started to cry. And she turned her head away, and she turned back, and she'd look at us. And we'd sing, and she'd turn her head away and cry. And finally, we got done with the song, and I couldn't take it anymore, and I ran up, and I put my arms around her. I said, don't turn your face away. I said, I cry every time I sing these songs, too. It's all right. They make me cry. And she said, I used to Christmas carol with my grandma. And I haven't done it for years. And this just made me think of her tonight. I wish my husband was with me tonight. All we did was take the love and the song of Jesus out there to these people. And it didn't matter if they were old or if they were young or if they'd had too much to drink at a Christmas party. Or if they were your average suburban couple. Every one of them was moved because we brought to them the love of Jesus without judgment, without restraint, without anything. We just went and we loved them. Andy was telling me, and I've heard this story before, about in this little town, they used to call this man the town drunk. And his last name was Bagwell. And he was the town drunk. And they did some revival meeting. Is that what they had going on one time, Andy? It was a tent revival that they had going on. And nobody had showed up. It was like three people that showed up. And the revival kind of went on for days. But there was one person that showed up every day. And it was the town drunk, whose last name was Bagwell. And they took him in every day, no matter how drunk he was, no matter what condition he was in. And they took him in, and they loved him, and they accepted him. And that man found Jesus. And because they took that one man in, that man found Jesus. That man had a son. His name is Tim Bagwell. Started Word of Life Christian Center down off of, Park Meadows, who has sons who now have churches. and thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people now know the Lord. Why? Because somebody took in the town drunk. And they didn't laugh at him, and they didn't judge him, and they didn't mock him, and then say, you know what? Our Jesus is too good for you. They took him in right where he was. Again, you never, ever know what might happen because you took in somebody. Now, they may look like a rebel. They may look like a vagabond. They may look like a drunk. They may look like a fallen servant of God. Somebody who you once looked up here and then they fell. And yet they may be an angel or a person sent to test you. They may be the next Marilyn Hickey. They may be the next Billy Graham. They may be the next Apostle Paul, Reinhard Bonnke, Mother Teresa. You don't know who they might be. And they were sent along your path on their journey to find a resting place with you, just to receive a little bit from you on their journey. And the question of the hour is, will you take them in? This person may be a complete stranger to you that the Lord puts in front of you, or he may just may be somebody you know that looks a little strange to you. They may be somebody that you know nothing about, or they may be somebody that you probably know too much about. And your judgment will, if you're not careful, will cause you to keep them at arm's length rather than taking them in. Will you take them in like the innkeeper did? Will you take them into your heart? Which means you're going to love them, not just do for them. What does the Bible tell us? You can do all of these wonderful things, but without love, it means what? Nothing. It means absolutely nothing. You can pick up every homeless person you find and throw millions of dollars at them, and if you don't have love in your heart for them, it means nothing. Will you take them into your heart? Not just do your religious duty with them, but will you really love them and care about what's happened to them? Not judge where they are, but care about where they are. Will you take them into your home? Your home is your material possessions. Will you share your material possessions with them? Whether it's, Andy said, I recognize some of those coats as ones I've seen on you guys before. Not, will you take them into your home? Will you take them into your possessions? Will you share with them like the Shunammite woman did and her husband? Not making them feel like, well, this is, well, here's another question. Will you take them into your family? Not just, well, you're welcome to be here, but you're not really our family. These are our family traditions. You're not really a part of them. This is what we do. You're going to make them feel like the unwanted stepchild in your family? Are they really going to be a part of your family? We took in Andy's best friend, who now lives in Fresno, when he was a little boy, Austin. And we just going to do a gingerbread house. I'll never forget this. Do a gingerbread house. Everybody said, come on, Austin, let's go make a gingerbread house. He never made one before. We're standing in Hobby Lobby. So pick out some candy. Everybody's got to pick out whatever kind of candy they want and put it on the gingerbread house. And he stood there and he wouldn't pick anything out. And 20 minutes later, he wouldn't pick anything out. I said, buddy, just pick out some candy. He goes, I can't do this. I said, why? Well, I'm not worthy to be a part of your gingerbread house. I'm not your family. I said, yes, you are. I said, you're my son. Hey, pick out some candy or sit down and we'll camp here and sleep all night. He's like, okay. Mama says, buy some candy, all right? We went home and he put up a tree. They climbed up on the roof and they put lights on the house. And he still talks about that day. And he never had a Christmas in his life. Never. His family was a mess. And Christmas was the last thing on any of their mind. And he didn't even feel worthy to put a gumdrop on a house. Will you take him into your family? Will you take him into your mind? Which means you're going to share your knowledge with them and you're going to open up your mind to learn from them. Not just judge them. Well, I have all of this wonderful knowledge to tell you how to not train wreck your life anymore. But I don't want to hear anything from you. I bet if you opened your mind up, not only do you have things to share, but you probably have things to learn from them. Will you open up your friendships to them? Are you going to have your little group of friends and you don't want them to see this person that you've taken in? I mean, we have our own little thing going on, and we can go out and hang out once in a while, but I'm not going to really invite you in. Are you going to invite them into your friendships? Are you going to take them into your gifts and talents, the things that you know? Are you going to share? Or are your gifts and talents for you because they make you look good and built up? Will you take these people into your world regardless of what they look like, regardless of what they act like, regardless of what they smell like, regardless of where they have been, regardless of how far they have fallen from the law that you live by? Like the story of the Good Samaritan. Everybody remember the story of the Good Samaritan? I'm going to read it real quick as I close. Luke 10. They don't have any of these back here, but it's in Luke 10, 30 through 37. Watch what this man did. Man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the road, and when they saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him, meaning he took him into his heart. He went to him and he bandaged his wounds, pouring on wine and oil. He shared his possessions with him, his talents. Obviously he knew how to bandage this man. Then he put the man on his donkey and he took him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I will return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. He took him in. He took him into his heart. He took him into his possessions. And not even just for a moment. He said, I want you to know I'm going to come back. I'm going to check up on him. And if he needs anything else, I'll take care of it. He wasn't just going to take care of him in a moment. He was going to watch out for him and take care of him. Now, what was the end of the story of this man? What happened to this man? Do you might know? Who did he become? What did he do with the rest of his life? Was it worth that man's effort, his money, his time, his sacrifice? Do any of you know? I know I don't know what happened to the end of the story. But I know it doesn't matter. Because Jesus himself said, as you've done for the least of these, so you did for me. Who did he become? How many lives did he touch? Wednesday night, Ron Bland stood up here. Do you know I've never heard this story before? Ever. Ron Bland stood up here and he said, do you know why we take care of families every Christmas? Do you know why my wife and I, and when we had our 180 gang ministry, we go out and we buy gifts? He said, because one time, my family and I, we were in need. We had nothing. And he said, this church came and they brought us Christmas. And because of that, now I go out and I do this. See, you never know one little act of kindness that you do, how far spreading it will go in this life. Okay, so I'm going to read you one more. I said I wasn't, but I am. Matthew 25. Because I think what Jesus has to say is really important. Matthew 25:31-40. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on the right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. And the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And the king will reply, I will tell you the truth. Whatever you did for the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. I will say this, for us to be, for you to be, like the innkeeper, the Samaritan, like Pharaoh's daughter, Jesus himself who entertained sinners every day and still does today. You're going to have to lay down your judgment. You're going to have to lay down your pride. You're going to have to lay down your fear. What might happen to me? You're going to have to lay down your reputation. What might people say about me? If I forgive that person, if I love that person, if I stand myself beside that person, if I have dinner with that person. You're going to have to get rid of your comfort and your need for security and control. A secured Christian life, in my humble opinion, produces religious Pharisees, which is people whose goal is to keep the law for their personal security and judge and fear those who don't. A surrendered Christian life will make room for and produce miracles by those it's willing to take in. In our body is nothing but miracles because people have taken somebody in. But here's just a simple, tangible one every single day. And they walked out. That's a little kid that reminds me so much of what Andy looked like when he was a baby. Big, fat head and weighs like a brick and smiles all day long. And his name is Noah. I'm just going to say, what's going to become in that little life? Because you guys took in the homeless. And you didn't care what they looked like. You didn't care what they smelled like. You didn't care where they'd been. You didn't care what they were doing. They needed food, and you fed them. They needed clothing, and you clothed them. They needed medical attention, and you paid for them to get it. They needed a job, and you took your talents and your skills, and you educated them, and you offered them a job. Now, what is going to happen to Noah? Because he was born in a different place than the world thought he would be born in. I hope I find out. Don't you? I hope I find out. But if I don't, it doesn't really matter. Because it didn't matter if it looked right. What mattered was it was right. That's all I have to say. Take people in when the Lord puts them in front of you. Because you never know how life will be altered because you took them in. Into your heart, into your forgiveness, into your love, into your home, into your family, into your friendships. Into everything. Amen? Stand up on your feet as we close in worship. If you need prayer, maybe you need healing in your body. Maybe you need healing in your heart. Maybe you need to lay down some things, some fear, some judgment, some unforgiveness, some whatever it is that keeps you from feeling comfortable taking people in, whether it's people you know or people you don't know. And if you scoot out of here before I get a chance to hug you, Merry Christmas. Love you all very much. Hope you have a beautiful, beautiful Christmas. And each and every one of you is our most treasured and priceless gift. So, amen. Go ahead, Noelle.